You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7. This is Community In-Depth. I'm Mike Rood, your host for this segment. Today I have with me in studio Mike Slavik, Dakota County Commissioner, and I'd like to welcome you into the studio today, sir.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you. For this segment, we're going to go over a little bit of things that the Dakota County Board accomplished for the last year as we take a little look back, and in upcoming segments we'll take a look forward. But I want to start today with some of the accomplishments that the board had during 2019.
Well, thank you. You know, it was a good year. We did what we were supposed to do and got a few pretty cool results as throughout all of this. And you know, one of the first things that happened in 2019 is we do every 3 years a resident survey, and we got our survey back results, and then that helps shape what we're going to do in the coming years. And in 2019, the residential survey, first and foremost on the good news, we had 97% that said the quality of life was good or excellent in Dakota County. So that was was one of our good things in there. And our highest ranking areas, of course, have typically and continue to be our parks and libraries. So they also had very good years. So I think starting talking about our libraries, you know, we had two major remodeling projects in the county.
Right.
One was Pleasant Hill in Hastings, and the other was Heritage Library in Lakeville. So between the two of them, that was just under $10 million in renovations that were done to both of those libraries. And now they'll be able to be at that next generation of library, including our iLabs. And I know many of the listeners in Hastings are very happy with the results of the librarians there, say that they have seen just a huge number of people showing up compared to who were there before the renovation.
I need to get out and check one of those iLabs. It sounds really interesting.
It is neat. That 3D printer is really cool. I mean, to be able to go and think of something and then have it come to life with that. So
will it print a cheeseburger?
Not one that you'd want to eat, but we will print a 3D cheeseburger, though.
All
so
right.
it does right. do that. It's pretty neat with that. And you know, I go into the schools on occasion and was just talking with some of the teachers and students, and a lot of even in the summertime, there's things, you know, they have sewing machines and record players and things that probably most of the listening audience is well aware of, but kind of that younger generation isn't so much. And they were like, yeah, I played a piece of plastic and it made music. And so it's kind of a whole different world. So that was something in our libraries that did that. But system-wide, one of the things that we did listening to the general public was our libraries used to open up at 10 o'clock in the morning and close at 8:30 at night.
Right.
And we were noticing that usually about 9:30 in the morning, you would see a whole bunch of cars that were just kind of sitting there trying to use the free Wi-Fi and waiting for the library to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we did is we changed our libraries and now open them up at 9 a.m.
Right.
instead of 10 a.m. And that's system-wide. And our libraries now are closed at 8 instead of 8:30. And so there was we had to find some cost savings to justify the extra half an hour.
Sure.
But the response has been tremendous.
And didn't they also expand hours at Pleasant Hill? I remember seeing something about that. Maybe more hours on Sunday, if I remember correctly.
So that's going to be in 2020. So one of the things we decided is that more hours at Pleasant Hill Library. So currently the Sunday is only during the school year, or was up to this point.
Right.
In
the summer.
And the summer times they shut the library down. And now Pleasant Hill Library will be consistent with all of the other major libraries in the county that are open 7 days a week.
Cool. So, very good. So what else has happened?
Well, on our park side, we got lots of stuff that happened there. So we surpassed the 2 million visitor mark on our park system. So 2.2 million visitors were at our parks and greenways in 2019.
Nice.
And including that, one of the things I know KDWA has been great at advertising with this is we've had a lot more park events and activities that are happening in our park system. And we had over 13,000 people who came just to our park events, our programs, our school field trips. So we surpassed the 10,000 person mark on that one. So that's been pretty cool. And then I think many are well aware, so we have just over 5,000 acres in our county park system, and we've been really making an effort to restore those. So we purchased properties.
Yep.
Many of our county parks were former cow pastures or there, but it's you go back 100, 200 years, and they were native prairies and oak savannas and some wetlands and that. So we've gone in and made a very aggressive, in the last 6 years, to go and start restoring and preserving our natural resources within our parks. And this past year, we were able to do another just under 400 acres within the park. So 397 acres were restored, bringing that total up to what we've now restored to over 3,000.
Nice. And I know that part of that, too, was a really aggressive buckthorn program last fall. And I think it's still going on over the winter months over there at near the dog park.
Yeah, so what happened is buckthorn, it's not native to Dakota County, but it's very invasive and takes over a lot. And it's a tough battle. We've been using a number of different things. We've had a lot of our community volunteers who've helped volunteer to either haul it away or drag it away. We have a full sentence to serve crew, so individuals who've done jail time. And we've dedicated a full one just for our county park system. So, and quite honestly, those individuals involved have really actually enjoyed being outside and doing that kind of work on there. But that's been really, it's an ongoing battle. So we cut them down, we put some chemicals on them, we bring goats into our park. So we've done everything we can but you have to keep up on it. And so even some of our areas of the property that we've maintained, we have to go back in, and it's not big, huge trunks of buckthorn, but we got to keep it up every year.
It's kind of one of those things that you have to keep on top of it, or you get behind really quick.
That is very true. And one of the cool projects, I don't know how many people from the listening audience head up to West St. Paul that often, but we have one county park, and then the rest of our parks are all either they're a part of the Metropolitan Council Regional Park System.
Right.
So our one county park is Thompson Park, just off of 52 and Butler area there on in the city of West St. Paul.
Right.
We have a Thompson Lake Park there that the lake within that park is had a lot of storm runoff and that sort of there.
Exactly.
So they ended up going in, and we received a number of grants from the state, and we were able to actually improve the water quality and dredge some areas and have some better fishing within that area. So that was about $1.5 million project that was completed last year.
And the thing I saw just came across my desk early this morning is that work is continuing there. They just received another grant from the BWSR.
Yes.
To continue work there in the closed portion of the old golf course.
Yes.
They're going to redo 10 acres, and we can talk about that in another segment. They're going to redo 10 acres for filtration to prevent stuff from getting down actually to the river.
Yes, and actually in that part in the old golf course, that actually, the reason it was a golf course is that was the old city dump before that.
Yeah,
so
that's what they were saying.
So they've been able to do some really cool projects and incorporate that with part of our greenway system.
Okay.
And some housing development and Hy-Vee coming in up there. So
speaking of housing, let's move on to other things that is going on in the county that are accomplishments.
Well, you know, one of our things on the housing side of it is we've been working with the Dakota County Community Development Agency. Mm-hmm. Homelessness is continuing to be a very important aspect of that the board is paying attention to. It's growing metro-wide.
Right.
And so we've got a couple projects that we've been able to work with that. One of them is we did break ground, and we're building a 40-plus unit building in Invergrove Heights that is going to be supported by the county for individuals who are currently homeless to stay for 1 to 3 years get the mental health benefits, the job skills, to be able to be fully self-sustaining. So that broke ground. Will open up about midsummer this year.
And where is that located there?
In Invergrove Heights, just off of Cahill.
Oh, okay.
There was a great partnership. A local church had extra land, and they went and they already have a community meal there, and they were going to be part of the volunteers, and said they approached the city and said, we think that this is what's lacking in Dakota County and one way to do our part to help. And
good.
So it actually passed unanimously on the city council, on the planning commission, which these are a little controversial projects. So
They can be, yes.
Yeah, the money that came from there to build it came from the state. It came from nonprofits. It also came from a family foundation went in and said, we think this is what Dakota County needs, and contributed a seven-figure gift to the project and said, if this works, we think we want to do this many other places. And so much to the fact that I just read in the paper this morning that Hennepin County is doing three projects just like this.
Nice.
They're building one new construction and buying two other apartment buildings for this purpose. So we're about $600,000 to $700,000 is our kind of commitment as a county, and they're doing 1.8. Of course, they have three times the population, so it's about right.
Yeah.
But it's great because, you know, we can't just do something and then not have our peer counties do it, or we can't make it be a St. Paul Minneapolis problem. We all have to work together.
Exactly.
On that one in there. So that is one thing, and I think we've chatted before on here, but our LIFT project is we've trained more than 220 older adults who use their special needs individuals,
mm-hmm.
want to work more hours, but the transportation becomes part of their problem, that
right.
We've partnered with LIFT and Uber to go with these individuals that are on county need and county assistance to be able to actually work more hours, be part of the community. So instead of kind of stranded at home, or that's the reason why they can't work more hours,
mm-hmm.
We've partnered with the private sector and Lyft and Uber, and they're now fully functioning members of the community. They've gone from an average of 10 hours a week to many of them over 25 hours a week of working. So,
nice, yeah.
So that's been one of the things that's really made them more substantial in that. And then I suppose we should probably talk a little bit about just the transportation side of what's happened. You know, the weather was not our friend in 2019. And one of the factors on that is 21 of the 28 days of February, county crews were out plowing.
Wow. So
it was that kind of a thing there. They had 38 weather events in 2019 that took a lot of resources on our salt supply and on our overtime. And I think all levels of government and even the businesses felt that with having to plow their parking lots all the time.
Yeah, so. The polar vortex that we had starting in January and working through, I think it stayed till just about March.
It sure felt like it, yeah.
Oh, man, that was rugged.
Yeah, so that was so that's kind of the start of that, and then of course we have some major. Every year we do major road projects to the tune mm-hmm. of the $60 to $70 million a year, and you know, locally we felt that with County Road 42 in Inter Township, which is a great road to be on now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was able to put in shoulders and straighten out some of the curves, and so that was one of our major reconstruction projects. We had a very large one in Lakeville on County Road 50.
All right,
That was a 2-year project that finished up, and then Foliage Avenue or County Road 23 down Greenville Township near Northfield. It didn't get done, but it so that 1-year project has become a 2-year project, so that we finished up this year. But that was some of that was, there's a lot of water that flows there, and the DNR grant or the DNR approval did not come through until midsummer, so they couldn't start the work until later, but we got a lot done.
But that one then is on the list, on the agenda for this year.
Yep. So the contract with Mathewitz Incorporated is continuing to finish it up. But they're hoping to have it done by early summer.
Good.
So that they can move on to their next one in there.
Yes.
And that's a big deal. One of the things in our rural projects in there is many of them never had shoulders, so they were very unsafe for
right.
law enforcement to control speed, and
right.
and farm equipment had a hard time staying on the road. They were kind of creeping over into the shoulders with that. So in the last number of years, we've seen huge investment in the rural part of Dakota County, in District 1 of my district.
Sure.
And that's not going to stop. You know, we've got probably 2 to 4 projects a year happening in Southern Dakota County for the next 5 years straight.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so that's just kind of some of the things there. And then in the bigger area, we have a lot of drivers who go over to Egan for work in that. And we partnered with Minnesota Department of Transportation on Highway 3 and 26, a very large new roundabout. And that's so any of our people who are head over to like Thomson Reuters from Hastings every morning, they're probably going that way and are very happy with what's happened on that part there.
Yep.
So that was just kind of that. And then anyone in Apple Valley would notice that we added another deck to the park and ride in the Apple Valley Transit Center. So that was
right.
Federal,
right.
mostly mm-hmm. federal money, but that was something that was helped led by Dakota County. So, so that's kind of where we are. And I guess one last thing kind of on that housing and development side is we had applied and received a $600,000 grant from the EPA to do some investigation on the environmental conditions for targeted redevelopment. And we included basically 3 cities because cities had to help apply for it. And
right.
cities of Hastings, South St. Paul, and West St. Paul, because they've had mm-hmm. contaminated brownfield sites. They added that. But what is able to do on that is the grant within the next $600,000 was awarded, and at least one project has to happen in those 3 cities. But then they'll be able to identify kind of the top redevelopment prime
mm-hmm.
Projects. And what this will really do is figure out how bad they are, what the true cost might be, and then we'll start working on applying grants to try to get some of those brownfields cleaned up and put some good development on there.
Well, and for the listeners that maybe aren't really aware, give a brief description of what a brownfield sure. actually is.
So a lot of brownfields, so a brownfield is going to have some sort of a, at one time or currently has a building on it or a parking lot. And so the terms are either brownfield or greenfield, and a greenfield would be kind of raw land where okay. you can do what you want.
Sure.
It's nobody's ever built on it, so maybe it has farming, but that's all you're going to have. So there's been no major conflicts with the construction.
Okay.
Where brownfield has a higher risk or to have contamination. Might have been a dry cleaner that was on that site sure, and they got to do that.
Sure.
Or you had an old gas station.
There's been a couple of those,
Yeah, so those are kind of where some of those have gone in there. And so that's kind of the brownfield side. And, you know, when I was on the city council, we had the Housing Redevelopment Authority that could only do brownfield but could never help out with any greenfield stuff. And that was our... So what Hedra became a result of that because
sure.
they could then go and work on
the greenfield,
on the greenfield side
sure.
as well as still doing the brownfield. So.
Right. And a lot of plans maybe for what had been there, and you don't know what kind of infrastructure is underneath on the brownfield, so
yeah.
it takes a little bit more input financially yeah. to get in there and discover and get the yeah. site prepped for what they call maybe shovel ready.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So the good example of that is that West St. Paul, the YMCA and the West St. Paul golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's parts in there that just you cannot put property, you couldn't put a construction on there. It's just the contaminations would not be at standards acceptable. But there are other, so they've spent millions before they even clean it up just doing the full analysis and where things yeah. are and how you could do that. And
and it's amazing that they built a golf course on an old dump.
well, they said you could still walk on it, but you couldn't go and live on it. So, but partially parts of it were far enough away, so there will be housing at the one end of that. So
well, and we got about a minute left or so. One thing that I think, as you describe all the things that were accomplished through the Dakota County Board last year, is the fact that you were able to do all of this work, do all of the prep work for these projects, and still remain a county that is basically debt-free.
Yes.
I think that's a huge accomplishment that you have all this going on and still are able to maintain cost management.
Well, thank you. That was one of my final points on 2019 is we still stay debt-free. We actually became, even though we don't issue debt, we are now one of a handful of counties that has both S&P and Moody's as the top-rated county for credit right. if we ever would want to borrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and with that, our tax rate went down that we now have the second lowest tax rate in the entire of any county, for
yep.
any state. And per capita, we have the lowest. So we've been able to still do that while watching the tax dollar.
That's amazing. You know, people could learn. I just say people could learn. We have, like I say, just a couple
yeah.
seconds left. Stay tuned for future updates with Commissioner Slavik. I'm glad that you were here today, sir. I'm looking forward to our next segment. You're listening to KDWA AM and FM, AM 97.7.
Yeah.
No, AM 1460, 97.7 FM. We'll be back.